Hello and welcome everyone to episode 52 of the Ducky O'Brien Show, and today we have more SBC gaming news. I would like to note here that I do schedule the releases of my podcast, so you may be hearing this news maybe a month late. You have a lot of content and it's all piling up, so I might try to do bi-weekly releases just to try to catch up, but yeah, we'll see. Anyways, today's episode is covering the lawsuit between Nintendo and Yuzu. If y'all don't know, Nintendo sued Yuzu for their emulator, mainly revolving around the decryption algorithms and everything. So a lot of news to get into. Before we begin, I would like to thank everyone for dropping by and listening. I really do appreciate it. Anyways, why don't we get into the episode? What's up guys, we got a lot of news to cover today. I know I'm a little late to the party, but I like to make this whenever I want. I don't really care too much about the algorithm and stuff. But Yuzu was sued by Nintendo and they were shut down. There's a lot of drama surrounding that. So we're going to go into that and cover it. And then we have a lot of regular other news items. As always, everything will be timestamped below so you can skip around. I will link all the sources so you can verify where I'm getting the news from and see if it's real or not. Take everything with a grain of salt because anyone can fake anything these days and it's going to be super convincing thanks to AI. It is what it is. Take everything with a grain of salt. Alright, why don't we get into it? We'll start off with this funny Mountain Dew setup from Mick Lewis. And yeah, I don't know what to say about this. This is it's very Mountain Dew-ish. It just caught my eye immediately and I was like, wow, that's a weird flex, but okay. Alright, now we're going into Nintendo stuff. It's hard for me to verify if anything is true to a certain extent, so I'm just going to leave all the links in there. I think it is correct for the most part, because a lot of sources are posting the same thing, but that could still mean it's fake. So Steven Totillo on Twitter posted this picture of the lawsuit. Nintendo sued Yuzu, saying their tech illegally circumvents Nintendo software encryption and facilitates piracy. This was posted by user Joker's Flame. I want to get into this just a little bit. So people are a little bit incorrect when I see their assumptions as to why Yuzu got sued. I don't know either. So I am just parroting what I saw online that seems to make legal sense to me. But I'm not a lawyer, so I would get a lawyer's opinion on this. The main difference between Yuzu and other emulators is the fact that the game files were encrypted and then Yuzu dynamically decrypts those game files at runtime. So this is a little bit different in that, so for example, for the Nintendo DS and the 3DS, you can get ROM files that are encrypted or decrypted. So you got the decrypted ones if you want to play on emulation. So if you want to play on, you know, your hardware or your computer, you download the decrypted ROMs and run on the emulator, or you get the encrypted files to run on a flash cartridge on the actual original hardware. The reason why a lot of emulators don't go into decrypting stuff is for the DMCA, the act of circumventing copyright protection is what breaks the DMCA. It's not necessarily, oh, did they have the product keys in there, downloading ROMs, you know, all of that could break it. But the mere act of decrypting those files is what was illegal, and that's what they're suing for if you read the lawsuit. And I think the difference here is that other emulators won their lawsuits for the most part. Most emulators are still around. Now, they might not be relevant in that development for them stopped, but this is one of the few emulators where they just shut down everything. This is, I think, a little bit of a special case. It's a little bit different than other emulators. If you look at emulators, they just don't include the BIOS files because that's proprietary tech. They let you go find it for yourself. They don't even tell you where to find it because they don't want to get sued. This was a big no-no. And following that news, Emulation Station has been pulled from the Amazon App Store. So if you look at Retro Game Core's original video, he suggested you purchase it on the Amazon App Store. And now Amazon pulled it from the App Store. So if you want it, you can still get it from their Patreon. You just have to pay a one-time fee and then cancel the automatic renewal. And then you get access to all their updates. So here is the reason here, according to a screenshot from Discord. And I really hate this generation where news is like a picture from Twitter or Discord, because that's easy to fake. You know what I mean? Like, there should be a way to link it directly. If you read this, this is from Leon. Some bad news: Amazon has decided to quote-unquote suppress, i.e. remove Emulation Station from their app store because quote-unquote the app facilitates emulating and pirating of games from third-party sources without explicit authorization from these sources. Everyone that knows anything about emulation knows that this is not true, and especially not for a front-end that does not ship with any games or any emulators. Anyways, it remains to be seen if it will ever be reinstated. I have appealed the decision, but I have no idea what will happen next. I'm going to disagree with that. It definitely does facilitate piracy. Now, technically speaking, it doesn't come with any emulators. It's a front end, so there's no emulators, but it helps you organize the emulators once you download it, kind of tweak it to your liking. But you're not using Emulation Station to do things other than pirating games. Let's be real here, all right? I saw a lot of copium online, and whether or not you think piracy is right or not, it's not the question here. It's like, you are pirating stuff. That's the bottom line. So if you're okay with it, that's fine. If you're not okay with it, don't do it. Bro, if you're pirating, just keep it on the down low, because it's not legal. That's my opinion. You know, it's my hot take. So I forgot to give credit. That was RichieMan07 on the Retroid subreddit. And that was Dre10G from the Retroid subreddit. I forgot to give credit. That's my bad. Here's another post from user RichieMan07 on the Retroid subreddit. Apparently someone in the Odin and Loki handheld Facebook group posted this. Basically, they're saying that the Mesa Turnip team is stopping driver support for emulators because of the lawsuit. If you don't know, the Turnip team made Yuzu work fairly well. If you saw advice, they'd be like, download the latest Turnip drivers and they'll make the games run better. That's pretty sad, but yeah. That's crazy. So Emulation Station got pulled from Amazon. The Turnip team is closing down. We see Yuzu actually stopped releasing things. They shut down everything. So if you take a look, this was posted by Beer and It's Stuff. This is from Gaming on Linux, written by Liam Daw. And this goes over the lawsuit here. And there's some interesting things here. So I'm not sure if this is the official document, but let's just take it at face value. There's some funny things in this document if you want to read it for yourself. Basically, they have to stop everything. They have to turn everything over. They have a fee of $2.4 million, and each party should pay its own costs and attorney fees. But here, they have to hand over the domain name as well. Something that was really funny, if you read this, is that they go over like the tools they use to hack. Yeah, right here. The court further orders pursuant to 17 U.S.C. upon Nintendo's election and to the extent controlled by defendant or its members, the destruction by deletion of all circumvention devices, including all copies of Yuzu, all circumvention tools used for developing or using Yuzu, such as Tegra, RCM GUI, Ekate, Atmosphere, Lockpick RCM, ND Dump Tool, NX Dump Fuse, Tegra Explorer, and all copies of Nintendo cryptographic keys. Look, man, you're essentially creating like a handbook to help people start hacking Nintendo hardware. So you're like listing all the tools they use, you know? Why not just tell us how to do it step by step at this point? But yeah, I thought this was kind of funny. And it's just legalese, but essentially they're saying you can't do this anymore. And not only that, after Yuzu shut down, Citra was discontinued as well. So Citra is the 3DS emulator. It was the go-to emulator for 3DS. The good news is it was pretty much stable and there's not much more you can do with it. And everyone dumped the files, so they're all online. If you would just Google it, it's everywhere. It's pretty funny. Okay, oh sorry. That was posted by DizzyCandle8753. Alright, after all of that drama, the EmuDeck got removed from Amazon. They went to Patreon. Yuzu got shut down, they're fined $2.4 million. Citra got shut down, and now EmuDeck is removing Yuzu and Citra support when they update for their next version. That was coming from Gaming on Linux, but the good news is that Ryujinx is stepping in. So this was posted by WLOM. This is posted by Wolom. I don't know how to read these names as well, so I'm sorry. But this is from a YouTube video from Mr. Sujano, and he was going over how Ryujinx is stepping in and kind of heading to Android and iOS. So we'll always have an emulator. I think Ryujinx, I'm going to have to look this up a little bit because I'm not into emulating the Switch, but I'm not sure if Ryujinx also decrypts games. If it doesn't, then it should be safe, legally speaking, for the most part. You know, Emulation Station got removed from Amazon. Yuzu got sued. They have to pay $2.4 million. They have to shut down everything. And then Citra got shut down. And now Emulation Station is removing Yuzu and Citra. That's the whole situation right now. And then Ryujinx is stepping in, and now they're going to be developing an Android app. Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I don't know where it went. I'm looking for it, but I'm going to have to include a link down below. But there is a way to keep Yuzu and Citra on Emulation Station. It's very easy. Just requires editing a simple text file, and you're good to go. All right, now we're moving into new hardware. This one's from Noricus. There's a red R36S, and it looks pretty sweet. I was going to get the orange one of these days, but I might have to go for the red. There is one downside, however, the cost. So if you go to AliExpress, the only store selling it is PGDM, and I'm going to go over how to spy fake stores. This is the welcome deal. So this is a deal you see when you're not logged in. If you already purchased from AliExpress, add $5 to this price. So this is going to be $53. Now, on top of that, they will charge you sales tax, which I'm pretty sure that they're not giving to the US government. So the state's sales tax in most states in the US, and the tax is supposed to go to the state government, but I don't think they are. I think they're just pocketing it. So the sales tax is usually around 14%. So $53 plus 14% is the cost you're looking at. If you want to save money, you want to buy it at the first 5 days of every month. It's already past the first 5 days or so, so you want to wait until April. Then the cost will go down roughly $3, $4. And there might be a coupon to save you like $3 off of your purchase of $30 or more. Now, when I tried a coupon, it didn't work, but I think you have to claim it by going to the front page of AliExpress and clicking on it. Just keep those things in mind. You can get a regular plain R36S for roughly $38-ish to $43-ish dollars. So you're paying about $10 more for the red version. I don't know if that's going to be worth it for you, but I would give you a heads up. So how to verify if a store is legitimate or not? It's going to be very difficult. Go hover over their store icon and then see when the store was made. For this one, it was open since September 20th, 2010. And then check the item as described and communication ratings. Anything above a 4.5, I think, if it's green, it's good. It's reliable. When you order it, just one thing, avoid Chinese New Year's. Just wait for the next month, fellas, right? It's not worth it. Everyone's off and then the orders pile up and it's going to get delayed. When you make an account, use a different email address. When you have to enter a phone number, use a Google Voice phone number. And then if you can't have a PO box, use a work address, something that's not your home address. Use PayPal and log into PayPal before you go into the site. And then when you get it, make sure you film yourself looking at the package with all the labels clear. And then open it while you're filming it so that if you get something empty, something is not right, you're more likely to get a refund. They want proof, so always film yourself opening. Make sure everything's clearly shown. It's the Wild West, all right, fellas. You're going to get hoodwinked no matter how hard you try. Data's being mined and farmed. Someone used their credit card, and I was like, why? And then a week later, their credit card number got stolen, so don't do that. There's a lot of steps here, so if the store is open recently, there's no ratings, I would not do it. Look, man, it's not worth saving $20, $30 possibly for the most expensive handhelds to get scammed, all right? You might not get your money back, so don't do it. This is a cool concept, but this was posted by Shigarui. I saw this in all the subreddits, and this is posted by notebookcheck.net. This article, let's see, was written by Alex Alderson. So this console is kind of cool in concept in that you have a chunky like handheld here that's a controller, and then you get glasses. This uses a Ryzen 7 8840HS, which is going to be pretty nice. It's going to have the Radeon 780M integrated GPU. It's going to have AR glasses. Here's the thing. I don't think this is going to be worth it in my opinion, and I'm going to give some reasons as to why. So if you take a look at the glass design, this will most likely be wired. And the reason I see this is if you're powering displays and you have all the circuitry and power within these frames, it won't last too long. If it's wired, it makes it less portable. I think there is still a use case in that I've seen people use the Meta Quest 3 AR glasses and VR headsets basically to replace a monitor while playing in their rooms. And I think this is decent in that, you know, like a big monitor or a TV might be too expensive or it might not fit in your room, but having like a VR headset is more affordable, then it totally makes sense. You're getting the illusion of a giant screen and you're playing games on it. Interesting concept. But yeah, I don't know about the execution as well. We'll see. It's from Techno and it's called the Pocket Go. Something to keep an eye out for, I guess. It's sort of a pun there. I'm sorry. All right, we're going into buyer advice now. We got this post from user Crusader11 in the AmberNick subreddit. And do not fall for this trick, fellas. Okay, Editor Ducky here. I just wanted to say that this is kind of hard to figure out just by listening. But if you go to AliExpress, you'll see these listings with the AmberNick 405V. And it'll say like $50, you know, 36 pounds, whatever. And it'll have a couple of those. But then the last item is this little tiny pink handheld. It's very cheap. It's like one of those old school Tiger Electronics, and I mentioned that already. But so for the listing, it'll show the 405Vs and then that item last. And if you order that, you're going to get that cheap electronic, even if you click on it and it shows you a 405V. So please do not fall for this. It's a scam. This is the same anywhere on AliExpress. If the price is too low, it's not real. The number one rule always holds true. If it's too good to be true, it usually is a scam. These posts have been popping up a lot. It's the 405V, which is, I think, the most powerful vertical form factor device out as of now. And it's pretty comfortable to hold from what I've seen. It's chonky. If you want a chonky vertical form factor handheld, this is the one for you, but it's expensive. But they're like, oh, you know, 36.92 pounds, too good to be true, right? And this is what you're going to get. Usually it's this little rinky-dink device here. It's very cheap. It's plasticky. It's like those old Tiger Electronic games, and that's like $3 or something. You're going to get that. So there have been posts where like it's $50 US. It's roughly around that price range, and if you see this device here, that's what you're getting. Do not fall for it. Man, it's a sucker born every minute, and there's so many people falling for it. I'm like, why? You already know that it's risky enough buying from AliExpress. Why take more risks? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense. Now, don't fall for it, fellas. If you did, try to cancel your order. If you can't, film yourself opening it, all right? Every step, make sure everything is clearly shown. And then ask for a refund. Keep asking for a refund until you get it. Editor Ducky here. I totally forgot to mention in the video that you can do a chargeback as well if you use a credit card. Hopefully you didn't enter your credit card into the website and you use PayPal. But that is always an option as well. Okay, so here's a PSA from London44 from the Steam Deck subreddit. Watch out for fake cars even on Amazon. Clearly you got a fake car there. Yeah, so I'm going to give some advice here on how to buy SD cards from Amazon. It's better if you don't, but this guy made a classic mistake. So he went to this listing. It said it was the SanDisk store. But if you look here, it's sold by a different company, but it ships from Amazon. What you want to do is you want to look at the other sellers. So it says new 4 from 77.56 and more. So you want to look here and you want to see if there are other companies selling and they're all shipping from Amazon. These are third-party sellers. All of that inventory is commingled together, so you don't want that. You can get a counterfeit. There's a very high chance. A good listing, on the other hand, will look something like this, and even this is not 100% reliable. You want something that ships from Amazon, but is sold by Amazon and only Amazon. So if you take a look here, you want to look at the other sellers. We're going to scroll through. And we see here that it's shipped from a different company and it's sold by a different company, but it's not shipping from Amazon. If it says shipped from Amazon, then it's going to be in that same bin. It's going to be commingled. Editor Ducky here again, and I know it's very hard to tell because you can't see what's happening, but let's say you're going to Amazon and then you see a listing. There should be a button in the right-hand side somewhere where it shows all the other sellers. You want to click on that and make sure that of all the sellers listed, that none of them are shipping from Amazon. I know you want items to ship from Amazon's warehouse because you get the free 2-day Prime shipping if you have Prime, but if they are third party and they are shipping using Amazon services, their cards are in the same storage system as the official cards, and that's where you get the problem with counterfeit cards. So a good listing will only have Amazon and official retailers or official resellers as listed as being shipping from Amazon's warehouses. You don't want any third party members shipping from Amazon. If they're there and they're shipping from their own warehouses, that's totally fine. You just don't order from them. Hopefully this helps, because I have seen a lot of people get counterfeit goods. You have to be very careful who you buy from and how you buy on Amazon now. It's essentially the same as AliExpress. It's just it's way more expensive, but you get faster shipping. Once you get it, Samsung has a very handy utility. If you look it up, then it's just, I'll show you right now. Okay, so if you type in Samsung SD Verification Utility, it'll pop up. This one's the PDF, it's a manual. We're going to go down to Tools and Software Download. And here, Card and UFD Software, Samsung Memory Card and UFD Authentication Utility. So when you download it, it's just a simple EXE. You start it, and then you have your micro SD card plugged into adapter. Plug it into your computer, and you can select that SD card as a drive, and it'll verify if it's legitimate or not. Editor Ducky here. I just want to say the audio for this is very rough. I think it's a side effect of ingesting caffeine because it's very hard to hold a constant thought. Usually I'm more fluid in my pacing and my line of thinking, but this was very disjointed. I could tell by the words, they're very uneven and it ends abruptly. It was very hard to clean up, but I tried my best. It should be better than the video version, and with these notes, it should be a lot more smoother. So Samsung has its own official validation tool. It's very easy to use. And then there is another tool called H2TestW. If you Google it, it should be the first result. https://h2testw.org. If you go to the website here, you can download it. And I would highly recommend using this as well. So what it'll do is it will write junk data to the full capacity of the SD card. And then it will show you the write speed, and it will read it back and then show you the read speeds. So if you have a stock SD card, if you want to use it, you're okay with risking losing your save data and stuff. Put it in and use this utility, and it's going to write to the full capacity of the SD card. If it fails this, then it's most likely going to fail right away. You can check the read and write speed as well. If it's very low, you're kind of risking it. It's something to double check your SD card. Alright, this is a post from Phil Swift on the Legion Go subreddit, and this is a trend I've been seeing on the PC handheld subreddits. Basically, people are replacing their desktops or laptops with a ROG Ally, a Legion Go, or a Steam Deck. I think it's pretty nice. Most of the people who are doing this are nomadic. They like moving around a lot, or they don't have a lot of space, or they never really use PCs to begin with, and just having this is good enough for them. When I think about it, it makes sense because if you think about how people use computers nowadays, it's mostly browsing the web, checking email if they don't use their phone, watching YouTube, watching movies, and playing games. And maybe using Discord. When people don't use their computers to the full extent, you don't really need all that computing power. So it makes total sense for something like this to replace computers for most people. So that's something to think about. So if you're looking to get into like PC gaming, you want a computer and you're looking at all the parts and it's like, this is way too expensive. You know, it's confusing picking out all these parts. You might check out getting one of these handheld gaming devices because they are getting pretty powerful and they are getting pretty convenient to use. There's some growing pains. So all these devices have some issues, the Steam Deck included. There's all these problems of like, drivers being uninstalled, or the BIOS update doesn't work as planned, or you know something happens where these devices aren't completely user-friendly. there's still a little bit of tinkering involved, but it's getting to the point where you might just hand it to somebody and they can just use it. We're getting into the bugs, fixes, and updates. This was posted by Smokeshot2840 in the SBC Gaming subreddit. I thought this was neat. So Virtual Boy is now playable in 3D on the 3DS. And it looks really good. So I think this is really neat. So the 3DS has built-in 3D on the top screen. And there are a few games that use that feature. There's a little slider too. If you look on the right side, you can turn it up or turn it down if it like makes you a little bit sick. So I think this is a handy dandy thing to have and another reason to get a 3DS if you like that system. All right, this was posted by Sorting by News NLT Shows on the Retroid subreddit. And this is a very ingenious fix for a trigger problem while you wait for a backplate. They just took a little bit of plastic that's bendy and they just put it in there. I was like, what the heck? People's ingenuity always surprises me because I would have never thought of doing this. And I thought this was pretty neat. It's very simple and it's very accessible. Even if you're like super clumsy and afraid to take apart your Retro Pocket 4, anyone can do this. Editor Ducky here. I had to re-record this entire section. It's getting super late and I'm very tired, so that explains the difference in the voice. Anyways, this is a post by Risky Lisky, and it's about adding the RTC back into the Miu Mini Plus. They are using a video by Takia Gecko on YouTube, and that person shows the entire process, and it's pretty wild. I would highly recommend checking the video out. In order to have this modification, you need a very high level of soldering skill to pull it off. I would not recommend the average person even attempt this unless you're happy with wrecking your device and having to buy a new one. Essentially, what they're doing is for this SoC, there is actually a real-time clock on it. And in order to have it run, the pin requires constant power. However, for some reason I can't explain, the manufacturers of the Miu Mini Plus decided to have the trace that goes to that RTC pin only have power when a device is on instead of always on. So what this modification requires you to do is use a heat gun to heat up the solder and then remove the chip. You're going to take a sharp object and scratch that trace out going to the RTC pin. And then you're going to put the chip back on. You're going to solder a connection from that pin to a trace on the board that is always active. They're using enameled wire because the wire has some coating and it's not conductive, and they hold it into place by using some sort of goop. I believe it's UV cured resin, but it looks like goop to me, so I'm going to call it goop. Anyways, once you make that connection, the RTC will always be on, and if you want to use the feature, you have to disable the automatic time restore built into Onion OS. This was actually a feature added into the most recent update in 4.3.0. All you have to do is create a file called .notimerestore with the T and R uppercase and put that into your SDS directory .tempupdate/config, and that will disable the time restore. The reason why you disable it is if you don't, then it will reset the time to the time that you had when you last shut the device off, or it will have a time skip option built in and it'll just boost the time by 4 hours or something like that. I think this is a pretty awesome mod because of the technical skill required, as well as I think it's pretty cool someone added a feature back to the device that the manufacturer took out for some reason. The only downside is that for this mod, Takia Gecko notes that it draws more power than it should, and they were theorizing that this was caused probably because of some section of the board becoming active thanks to the wires connecting two parts together. Okay, now we're going into user creations. We got this really awesome theme made by New Funky Mode in the Miu Mini subreddit. It's a Capcom SNK theme, so it looks super sweet. Icons, power icons, more. There's a cool charging animation. It's pretty awesome. So you can just download it and have another custom theme. I saw like Minimum OS. It was a very sleek, minimal black theme for the Miu Mini. I might check that out too. It's all these things you can do to customize your handheld. For me, I don't really care too much about customizing. I just use whatever it is at default. Like I'm a no skin, no mod kind of guy. But you know, if you like tweaking everything to your liking. There's so many options now. Okay, this one is pretty cool. This is posted by AdventurousCandy401 in the Miu Mini subreddit. I think I've referenced this before, but they use Oyumaru clay to cast their buttons, and then they use epoxy resin to make the buttons. So if you want to see here, the clay is heated up with hot water, and then you press the buttons into the clay to create a mold. Then you pour the resin in there, and then, you know, you sand it off, whatever. So I'm kind of curious if you can do the traditional kind of casting method where you have two halves and then you like press it onto the entire button and you make a little hole where you pour in the resin. I'm not sure if you can use that method with this. They kept working on it, and this is their latest post, and this looks really cool. I really like the colors. It's kind of like, looks like candy. There's different ways to do this. You don't need a 3D printer. So many ways to make things if you really want to. And speaking of that, I drank some caffeine. I'm usually caffeine free. I stayed up late and I was obsessed with trying to get my own scripts to run on Onion OS. So there's a new feature where you can put in scripts, bash files into the startup or checkup directories on Onion OS. And I was looking at the runtime, that SH file, and it goes through it, right? So I was like, okay, let me try at least creating a log file. And it wouldn't work. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? I don't know how to use bash. I'm not familiar with Linux commands. You know, I did do a little bit of coding back in the day and recently as well, but like, I just couldn't figure it out. So I'm going to go back into that. My main goal is to make my own script, which turns on Wi-Fi, syncs the time, and then turns Wi-Fi off. I think that should have been a feature because I don't want Wi-Fi on all the time. I don't want the battery drain, and I don't trust it to be connected to my network at all times. If you trust it, that's fine. But at least you save battery by not having the Wi-Fi on all the time. I thought it would make sense to connect online when you start it, sync the time, and then disconnect. So then you have the advantages of the RTC being accurate, but you don't lose the advantages of having Wi-Fi off in terms of battery. So I was like, okay, let me figure it out. I was diving deep into the code. I could not get it working. So I'm going to still work on that. If I get it working, obviously I will post a video guide on it, and then I will give it to the dev team and see if they can implement it into Onion OS if they want to. I'm not sure if I'm going to get to that point, to be honest. It's kind of hard figuring things out. I'm going to have to read like the bash guide. I'm going to have to go back into coding for C and, you know, all the memory pointers, all that stuff. I forgot everything. Okay, now this is a minimal front end for Android posted by Yosaruriano in the SBC Gaming subreddit. They released it for free and it's also open source, so you can modify it to your liking. I think that's pretty awesome. So if you want your own front end, you can download this as a template and then make modifications or just use it. I think it looks pretty clean. I'm kind of a fan of minimal front ends myself as well. I don't need it to look nice because all I care about is getting to my games as fast as possible and then just playing the games. I'm not going to be looking at the device. You know, some people like doing that, but I just don't care. All right. This last one was cool. I watch a lot of K-dramas with me mom. And so this brought back, those memories and feelings. But this is posted by Tinker Simpson on the Steam Deck subreddit. Guess who has a starring role in the Korean action drama series? The show is A Shop for Killers. Now, I didn't watch it, but it's a Steam Deck. I was like, wow, that's cool. Was this like sponsored? Did they like sneak that in there? I don't think Valve is like that meta in terms of advertising their product. I feel like they just had a Steam Deck and they're like, this looks futuristic, let's use it. But yeah, I sort of enjoy K-dramas. You know, I really like the historical dramas the most. I got really into those. Generally, I like the ones that are more wholesome and not violent or depressing. It's the same with anime too, where it's like things getting a little too, they're trying to like copy the West a little too much. Like just stick to your roots. You don't have to copy Game of Thrones. You don't have to copy these other shows. But yeah, thank you for dropping by and watching. I really do appreciate it. Recently, I bought a M17, a yellow Datafrog SF2000, and I also bought a RG35XXH from the TikTok shop. I'm pretty much set on devices in terms of, I have three new devices now. They're very cheap. The M17 and the Datafrog were very cheap, but the RG35XXH is a little bit more expensive. With those three devices, it's going to take me months to get acquainted with it and cover it to the fullest extent that I can. Like, for example, the M17 has so many different custom firmwares and operating systems for it right now that they're in their early stages, and I feel like that it's going to mature and provide the device with better support. Like, you can play N64 on that using custom firmware, and it runs pretty okay. Drastic can run on it. So I'm going to check it out. I'm going to tinker around with it. And you're going to see a lot of content on my channel for those three systems now. The only device I'm really hyped about is the Mi Mini Flip. I hope the hinges are good. If it's not, oh well. I feel like it won't be. When the Retro Pocket Flip came out, the hinges were not reliable, you know? Like, it wasn't, it was cracking. But in terms of, like, other devices I'm going to get in the future, I would like to get an R36S. Because it is a very popular cheap handheld, I would like to go into, you know, seeing if I can make it better or more reliable, or like just making sure you can fix it, because a lot of people have trouble with that. And I would like a 351M to play Game Boy Advance games on, but I can't seem to find them from a reputable seller, and the 351P is way too expensive for that hardware, so... Okay, well, that's going to be it. Thank you so much for dropping by and watching. I really do appreciate it. If y'all want me to cover something, please feel free to let me know. I read every single comment. It doesn't mean I will reply to every comment if the comment doesn't need a response, but like I'll thumbs it up or I'll heart it. I am trying my best to learn about the software and the hardware side of things. I made a lot of mistakes on my videos for the Mi Mini Bus. Because I'm learning every day. I'm diving into the actual source code too. And there's just so much that I don't understand and I got wrong. So I'm trying to learn and correct my mistakes. I'm trying to tweak it too. I'm trying to get into the software side of things as well. Before I keep rambling, it's a nice day. It's a very nice day today. I'm going to try to enjoy the weather. And thank you so much for dropping by. Thank you for all the support, fellas. I feel it. My channel has been doing very well compared to what it usually does. Thank you for, you know, dropping by and giving me a little bit of your time. I appreciate it. Okay, that has been episode 52 of the Ducky O'Brien Show. And as always, thank you so much for dropping by and listening. I really do appreciate it. If you would like to contact me for any reason, you can email me at duckyobrienshow@gmail.com. That's D-U-C-K-Y O-B-R-I-E-N-S-H-O-W @gmail.com. Once again, the email is duckyobrienshow@gmail.com. You can also visit my blog, duckyobrien.com, and that should have links to everything I'm doing. Anyways, what a crazy turn of events. This was the fastest turnaround between getting sued, being shut down, and everything just disappearing. Thankfully, there's archives. But yeah, I don't know if anyone's going to pick up the fork and continue developing, because they have to cut out all the decryption stuff, and then it might be legal, but we'll see. We'll see. Vuejinx is stepping up, so we'll have an emulator, but you know, it's kind of interesting how fast it's moved. One of the few emulators that got wiped off the face of the planet. Most of them are legal because they don't go into proprietary tech. That's why, you know, BIOS files and everything, you got to get yourself. But these guys were a little bit too ballsy, I feel like. Again, it's going to be it before I keep rambling. Thank you once again, and as always, hope you guys are staying safe and sane out there. And catch you guys next time.